Father God, thank you just that you would give us this opportunity to be together. And God, I ask that you would be here and you would help to open our hearts and our eyes to the truth that your word reveals to us. God, would you just remove me from the equation, that our students would hear the truth that you have for them. And God, as they come together as small groups, that they would continue to go outside of themselves, to welcome one another, to be kind and loving, and to demonstrate Jesus tonight as they talk about their lives and the things that are going on. God, we love you and we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, I'm not the most observant person all the time. And for instance, my wife and I got caught in a snowstorm once because I just didn't look at the weather when there's red flashing beacons like, hey, we're gonna have a snowstorm. We ended up getting 2 feet of snow that day, and we were stuck in Sandstone, Minnesota, ice climbing. Who knew, right? Check the weather. With that, right, next week, we're in single digits next week. Did anyone know that? Well, negatives at night. We're in the teens this week. We are officially in winter time, right? No questions. Next Wednesday, the high is -7. Man, be here. This is where you want to be. No. Well, maybe. No, because then we have to cancel. So here, I have another question for you as we continue on. It's not really a question. It's really more of an observation. As being Wisconsinites, good Wisconsinites, there's kind of this unofficial holiday season that we've entered into. For some, it started a little earlier, but we are here. And this is a time of the year that Wisconsinites, they go into their storage units and they drag out little shanties and shacks and trailers and mobile homes, and they chase the raccoons and they clean out the mouse poop, and they drag their little abodes onto the frozen water. And then they cut a hole in the bottom of their trailer, right? And then they cut a hole in the ice, and then they take this little invisible line with a fake worm on it, and they stick it in the water, and then they sit there for hours and do nothing, right? What am I talking about? Yeah, right? And even if, so we're all aware that right now this is some prime time for ice fishing because the ice is thick, you can drive your car out there. And even if you've never ice fished before, most of you knew what I was talking about in describing it. And because it's all around us, right? It's where we've grown up. It's part of our culture. And even if you've never done it, there's a small part of it that it's a part of who we are in the Midwest, right? And tonight, that is what I want to talk about, is who we are, our human identity. And I want to talk about it because we are all faced with this question that we ask ourselves of who am I, okay? So when I use the word identity, it's exactly that, how we define ourselves, just simply who we are, okay? But it is complicated, right? It's not simple. There's layers of family history and family religion, how you grew up or how your parents grew up, what their job was, their career, life experiences, or again, our geographical location and how these things define us. It is one or all of these things that make the 23andMe DNA testing so popular right now, right? If you don't know what that is, they take a, I believe it's a blood sample, right? And you send it to some cool science lab, and they tell you cool things about your ethnicity, and other people who have submitted tests, they'll connect you with people. And it's very popular, but some of you may have heard some of the horror stories, right? Where people are finding out oh, you're not my dad, or I have 5 brothers and sisters, or, and in all fairness, there's some really cool stuff happening too. I mean, families are being reunited. But at the same time, people who are not ready to face or learn truth, their lives are being torn apart in their quest for meaning and trying to figure out who am I. Our culture is absolutely obsessed with answering this question, and I make that statement based on the fact that one of the most common storylines in movies is this finding your identity theme, Okay? So I have three video examples that I want to show you, and then we'll talk about it and go on. So Ben's going to play the first one. Okay, I just realized this. This movie came out. I just looked it up. This movie came out 7 years ago. Who hasn't seen this movie?
Me.
Okay.
Spoiled my movie.
Sorry, I ruined it, everybody. This movie came out in 2012. Ben, how old are you? You're 12. I can't do math. 7 years ago. Five. You were five when this movie came out. Shh. All right. Keep it together, all right? Sorry if I spoiled it for you, but for those of you who've seen it, right? The entire movie, the Hulk, he doesn't like himself. He wrestles with who he is. He tries to keep him suppressed. And then miraculously at the end, like, he has this, like, finding his identity moment where, you know, it's like, I'm always angry. And then he becomes a Hulk. And it's in the midst of the whole team kind of being unified in their identity. Let's play the next one. Okay, so boys who are yelling, can you not yell? Because I think some of us missed the like key line, right? So don't yell on our next video, right? So if you missed it though, he says, Dad, sometimes I'm not even sure that I'm your son, right? Which, he's a panda, he's a duck. If you don't get it, ask your parents. So let's watch the next one.
Thank you.
Just so you know, that's acting at its finest. Thank you, Mark Hamill. Just his like agony, right? His agony over finding out that his dad is the worst man in the universe. So by the way, this is another like old cultural reference. So I know most of you've seen that. You probably knew that Darth Vader was his dad like before you ever saw the movie. But if you can imagine in whatever 81, help me out, Ed. 79. No. This is Empire. So this is what? 80. Thank you. This is Empire Strikes Back. So in 1980, like this is the first time people are hearing this. Like this is like bomb drop. All right. Anyway, let's keep going. You know, the whole Star Wars franchise is based on identity, right? Yeah. In Force Awakens, thank you. Just keep feeding me lines. In the Force Awakens, hey, listen up. In the Force Awakens, we learn about Rey, right? And the big question was like, well, who is she, right? And for 2 years, fandom like speculated who was Rey, and then the newest Star Wars came out, and she apparently is nobody, right? Maybe the third one will give us a clue and fill in that gap. But the point is it's all around us. We are obsessed with this identity question, this quest of who we are, and it's because this question has been facing humanity since the beginning. This question of who I am has been there since Adam and Eve. And one of our fundamental problems as humans is that we forget or we have forgotten who we are. And this is what happens in Genesis. In Genesis, in the garden, we have our first glimpse of this identity crisis. Eve, in a moment of weakness, she forgot who she was. Adam and Eve, they had everything. They were in a perfect garden. They had everything they could want, right? I want to believe that there was an endless buffet of bacon, right? I don't think you heard me. I want to believe that there was an endless buffet of bacon, right? That was, in my mind, that's the garden in perfection, right? I don't know if they actually ate pigs then. Anyway, when the serpent deceived Eve, she forgot who she was. She forgot that she was the daughter of the most powerful God. She forgot that she was in perfect relationship with the Creator himself, the Creator of the universe. She lost sight of that, and she desired more. And Adam is kind of a lost soul here. He actually didn't say anything, right? He just took the apple, and he ate it. He provides some really insightful advice. This is a side note for guys. If a really pretty girl asks you to do something really stupid, make an attempt to say something intelligent, and at least ask a few questions, okay? Adam didn't do that, right? Like, there's no record of him. He just doesn't even question what goes on. He, too, forgot who he was. He is the son of the most powerful God. He was in perfect relationship with the Creator of the universe. Adam and Eve, they questioned their identity, and that caused them to question God's authority. Adam and Eve lost sight of who they are, and that led them to question God's power. And the first thing I want to tell you is that these two things, they go hand in hand, because we replace our identity with idolatry, okay? Here's what I mean. We replace our true identity with a fake identity, okay? And then we replace the true God with a fake God. We trade truth for lies. And here's the first lie that Adam and Eve believed, that God is not who he says he is. And because Adam and Eve believed, they believed that, they believed another lie. The lie that says, I am not good enough. And because I am not good enough, I need more. Okay? If you're wondering what idolatry is, it's this. Idolatry is when we take something, usually a really good thing, and we make it an ultimate thing. We replace God with it. So whether it's knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil for Adam and Eve, right? Our grades, our career, our relationships. And this is wrapped up in our being and who we are, because every time we try as humans to embrace an identity outside of God, it always slowly becomes idolatry. It eventually gets there. And we're all actively doing this now. So we each have just different circles of influence, right? Circles of friends where we kind of have different identities. So you might have a group of church friends, right here, and you maybe act a certain way with them. You have your school friends, and you might act a certain way with that group. Your parents or your friends' parents, you act differently with them. Or your siblings, you act differently with them. You go from one circle to another, whether that's sports or activity or family or friends or church or school. And in each difference, as different as they may be, and as different as you might portray yourself, in every situation, all we are trying to do is gain status and dominance and recognition. So maybe, let's just use your parents as an example. Maybe with your parents, you're just trying to follow the rules, okay? Maybe you're very actively trying not to follow the rules. Maybe you're seeking their approval by, you know, getting straight A's, like you'll prove to them something. Can you see how this is going to turn into idolatry? When we want to be recognized, but yet we don't want to be recognized by who it matters. We don't want to be recognized by God. We want to be recognized by others. We want something more, so we try to do more to make up for where we fall short. This attempt just consumes us, and our attempt to gain meaning, it eventually turns into idolatry, where we replace God with the very thing that we are pursuing. So, what should our identity be? And to answer this question, we have to turn to the Bible, okay? And this is how we're going to spend the rest of the night, and this is going to be part of your small group as well. On the screen, we have Colossians 3, 1 through 3, okay? I just want to briefly look at this passage, and then we'll close. It says this, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Here are three truths that this passage tells us about our identity in Christ. Okay, number one, we are a new creation in Jesus. I'll say it again. We are a new creation in Jesus. This is where I'm getting this. And this might be the confusing part, so I'll explain this. It says, if you have been raised with Christ. Okay, it says you have died. Okay, so pause. I have not been raised from the dead, nor have I died for that fact, right? So what does this mean? God is not bound by time. He transcends history, okay? And Paul is writing to believers in Colossae, and when you believe in Jesus, it's as if you were with him when he was crucified. It's as if you were with him when he rose from the dead, right? And this is why in baptism, it's a symbol of us dying to ourselves, to our old selves, and then being raised to our new self. We are a new creation in Jesus. Number two is that we must choose to believe in truth. It's a mind thing, right? It's how we think. He says to seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above. Paul says, especially when it comes to who we are in Christ, we are to think, we are to take the truth and put it in front of us, because how we think, then our beliefs and our emotions and our actions will follow. There's an act where we must choose to believe in truth. And lastly, this passage teaches us that we are hidden in Christ. When you believe in Jesus, you are like a treasure to him, okay? This is kind of like the parable. I'm flipping the parable a little bit and putting you in the position of the treasure. But it's like the parable of the man who found a treasure and he buried it in a field, okay? He dug a hole, he put the treasure in, he covered it up, and then he left. He went and he sold everything that he owned. And he took that money and he bought the field. He put everything on the line. He risked everything that he owned to buy that field, knowing that he had that treasure waiting for him. Okay? Jesus, when we believe in Jesus, when we are a follower of Jesus, that's our identity. Christ, we are hidden in Christ, and we are free to live in a way that is unhindered by what other people think, or our performance, or what we should or could do with ourselves. Some of us, we want to find our meaning in the activities and sports that we play. Some of us are looking for meaning and approval with our grades or our intelligence. Some of us are relying on how we look, how many Instagram followers we may have, how many movies we can quote, what other people think about you. So in the coming weeks, right, we're going to be talking about relationships. Some of you might measure yourself on how many guys or girls you date, or how many guys or girls like you or you like, whatever it is, right? We actively try and hide ourselves in those things, and we aren't safe. We believe the lie that God isn't who he says he is, or he doesn't care about me, or he's holding something back, or the only way that I can be good with God is to do more stuff. We believe that lies, and we are exposed to a very unsafe place. Our true identity is only found in Jesus first, who's done everything that we can't do. So one really practical thing that you can do is to write down these lies that we've been talking about. And you're actually going to have this opportunity tonight in your small group to practice this. But a really practical thing to do is to write down those lies and then go to the Bible and find the answers yourself, okay? And again, you're going to have some time to do this tonight in small groups. And I would like to close with just a brief story from the Bible again. When Moses is speaking with God in the burning bush, he's on Mount Sinai. Moses says to God, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh?" Right? God wants to send Moses to Pharaoh to get his people out of slavery under Egypt, if you don't know the story. I think most of you do. Right? So Moses is talking to God and he says, "God, who am I to go to Pharaoh?" And all God says is, "I will be with you." That's God's answer. His answer to who is Moses, what is his identity, is that God will be with him. This theme goes through the entire Bible. This is why in Isaiah, Jesus is referenced as Emmanuel, which is translated as God is with us. John says that Jesus is the Word made flesh, and he dwells among us. We all wrestle with, who am I? We face that question, and I know as 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, that this is a prominent question for you now. And you are seeking to gain status and approval and recognition from whatever group you have defined as meaningful. It doesn't mean popular or sports. It could mean anything. Anything that we have traded for God. Okay? Traded God for, I should say. We're all tempted with the lies to believe that God is not who he says he is and that we are not good enough. But just like Moses, when we ask God, when you go to God in prayer and you ask him, who am I? The Bible tells us that his reply is, I am with you. And he says, I am with you in the most ultimate way by sending his son to die for us, raising him from the dead so that he freely can give us new life in Christ. That is true identity. This is what we're going to talk about in small groups tonight. I want you to guys really just hear me out. And this is what I'm going to pray for as we go. My prayer for you is that you would open up tonight, that you would share with your peers and with your leader the things that do tempt you, the lies that tempt you to believe not in God, but in yourself. And I also want to encourage you that with whatever is shared in small group tonight, stays in small group, okay? That's like a foundational rule of the refuge. What you share in small group, to be vulnerable, that's I want you to see that as something as sacred and that you get to care for somebody else by keeping that to yourself and to your small group, okay? So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to dismiss you to small group. So if you would close your eyes and bow your head. Father God, again, thank you that you would continue to put truth and light in front of us to fight against our own hearts that believe in lies, that question you, that question ourselves. And God, I would ask that you would just continue to help make all of us just crystal clear that Jesus has done everything for us. He is everything that we need. And it's in him that we can find rest and that we are hidden in him and we are safe to live freely for Him. Thank you, God, that we are a new creation, that we have died to our old selves, and that we have raised into this new life. And Father, for those who have not experienced this, God, I just ask that You would make this real for them tonight, that they would talk to their leader, that they would pray, that they would consider in their heart what it is that they believe, who they believe in, and who they believe that they are. God, we know that this affects many people on many levels, and I just pray that You would bless and minister all of our students tonight as we talk about our identity in You. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.